Thank you for tuning in. I'm Michael Cohen. Our healthcare system, well, if you ask Donald Trump, he's ready to repeal and replace Obamacare. But what really is the state of what we're dealing with now, and what are some of the solutions that we may consider here? Dr. John Patrick is the author of the brand new book, Health Attitude, Unraveling and Solving the Complexities of Healthcare. Dr. Patrick, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Michael.
Yeah, health. And what kind of a doctor are you then?
A doctor of health administration.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, not a medical doctor.
And what, did you work at a hospital then, or?
No, actually, my background was at IBM. I worked for IBM for 35 years, most recently as vice president for internet technology.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was quite involved in the early days of the internet. I was one of the founders of the World Wide Web Consortium at MIT back in 1994. And really quite involved in the beginnings of the web.
I mean, were you a computer science major type? Is that what it was?
No, my other degrees are, I have an electrical engineering degree and a degree in management science and also a law degree.
Wow, okay. You basically covered it all here. Did you know back then, kind of where we were heading with the internet? Were you like, this is going to be the biggest thing ever?
Yeah, in all modesty, I must say I did. I was so excited when I first saw the World Wide Web back in the early 90s, and I was really just overwhelmed by it and enthused by it, and I got quite involved and helped IBM get involved in the internet, and they became a significant leader in the world of e-business and so on. And I retired from IBM 14 years ago and joined a number of boards, one of which was a community teaching hospital. And that's where I began to get interested in healthcare. I was quite an eye-opener for me.
Really? What is it that you first saw that got you interested?
Well, on the one hand, I saw a wonderful hospital, a compassionate group of nurses, great surgeons, management that operated the hospital very effectively. But on the other hand, I was appalled at how backward the hospital was in terms of information sharing. You know, there were post-its and paper and clipboards everywhere, and doctors didn't share information with each other. Mm-hmm. And
well, and now fast forward, now we're sharing our information with China, apparently, involuntarily. Well, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I decided when I turned 65 to go back to school and really understand what healthcare is all about. And I studied it for 3.5 years, and I did some research and wrote a dissertation.
You went back, you went to college at 65?
I did.
Really? Which school was that?
University of Phoenix.
Okay.
Mostly online, but not 100% online.
Do you recommend that? I've never tried that out. Do you recommend that online Phoenix type experience?
Well, I would recommend it. It depends on what you want to do and how you like to interact. There are a lot of pluses to learning online. You know, you go to a classroom in a brick and mortar college and you have one professor talking to a room full of students. When you're online, you have one professor, but you have maybe 15 or 20 students, and you learn more from the students than you do from the professor.
You just have to be motivated, though, right? Because you're at home, you got to, you know, get up and do it.
Exactly. Okay. You really do have to be motivated. And I was. I really wanted to understand everything I possibly could about healthcare.
Well, in fact, you've done it. And the book, by the way, let me put it out there, Health Attitude is the brand new book, Health Attitude, Unraveling and Solving the Complexities of Healthcare. It's Dr. John Patrick. I need to ask you, are you a supporter of Obamacare?
Well, it's not as easy as saying yes or no. And this is, I'm glad we have a chance to talk about this because, you know, Obamacare, actually there are 10 parts to it. And we rarely hear about most of them. We hear a lot about the insurance part. You know, who's in, who's out, how much they pay, healthcare.gov, the insurance companies, and so on. And that, frankly, is a mess. And it needs a lot of revamping and improvement. Mm-hmm. But there's other things in the Obamacare reform that are actually working and are having a positive effect that we really should pay attention
like
to.
What?
Well, for example, one of the major shifts that I describe in my book and as you said, it's called health attitude, right? And I put forth the reason that our attitudes have to change as patients, as providers, as policymakers, and politicians as well. And when it comes to providers, in other words, doctors and hospitals, they have grown up in a system where they do something, they get paid. They do something again, they get paid again. They do something and do it wrong, they get paid. And it's just transaction-based, you know, get paid for everything you do.
They get paid for their time and their effort, right, and their resources, I guess, right?
Right, but it's transaction oriented, and the motivation there has been in the past: the more I see you, the more I get paid; the more tests I recommend, the more procedures I do. It's just transaction oriented. In the Reform Act is a shift into a new way of providing compensation and reimbursement. It's called accountable care, ACO, accountable care organization. All of us will be hearing about this in wherever we might live, and the concept is quite different. It provides a fixed payment per person to people that are in the geography the hospital is taking care of.
Okay.
So, for example, Medicare might make a deal with a local hospital to say, we'll pay you $300 a month per person on Medicare in your zip code. Now, when that kind of a contract gets put in place, but now the hospital's motivation is quite different than it has been in the past. Now they're looking at, gee, how can we keep people out of the hospital?
Right.
Because if they come in, we don't get any more revenue, but we do get more cost. And so,
you're saying that'll change the how much money we're spending on healthcare? Is that going to be the difference?
Absolutely. Well, it's already beginning to have an effect. The latest report showed a savings of $418 million. It's a drop in the bucket compared to $4 trillion that we're going to be spending, but it's a good beginning.
So tell me this. So who's really taking advantage of the system? Is it the insurance companies?
Well, there's enough blame to go around for everybody. The insurance companies, they're just like car insurance companies. You know, they have to try to evaluate the risk, mm-hmm. and then they try to establish premiums based on the risk they see, and then they hope that they're going to take in more than they spend.
Right, but are they pushing? I mean, because are they getting breaks on one end that they're not passing on to customers, that kind of thing?
We haven't seen that yet, but the criticism right now is that they're building in these huge deductibles, and people are getting health insurance for the first time in many cases, and they are getting an affordable monthly premium, but they're getting a deductible that might be $10,000 or $12,000.
They don't have that money anyway, so they might as well not even really almost have insurance in that case, huh?
Well, it gives them catastrophic coverage, and it gives them well baby coverage, and it does provide a blanket there, a safety net, but everything else they do becomes out of pocket. And
so how are we going to deal with that? I mean, if insurance companies feel they need to put these huge deductibles there, how do we get around that?
Well, the fundamental problem in healthcare, Michael, is not with the insurance companies. The fundamental problem is our healthcare in America is too costly. It's we pay twice as much per person as other developed countries,
right,
who have equal or better care than we do. So we have a cost problem.
And who's jacking up the price on us, though?
Well, again, there's a lot of blame to go around. One issue, of course, is drugs. While the cost of most elements of health care have begun to flatten out, the cost of drugs is rising at double-digit rates. Why is that? Well, I blame it on Congress. When we got the Prescription D drug plan back under President Bush, some years ago, a provision was included by Congress that said that Medicare could not negotiate for the price of the drugs that they pay for. And now, today, Medicare is like two-thirds of the revenue that comes into a hospital or comes into providers, and they can't negotiate the price of the drugs. So this is a real problem. Yeah. We can blame it on the drug companies, but it actually was caused by Congress.
Right. Who is influenced by the drug companies, right?
Oh, definitely. Right. It's the largest lobby. And there's nobody even close to the size of the lobby of the pharmaceutical industry. They convinced Congress that they should be allowed to advertise directly to you and I on TV. Hmm. The average person sees 13 TV ads a day for diseases they mostly have never heard of.
Yeah, those commercials actually scare me, to be honest with you. When you hear people like Donald Trump, even yesterday on 60 Minutes, say, we're going to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, do you think that's something we could do?
It's impossible. it is literally impossible to repeal that Reform Act. It's not going to happen. But it certainly can be improved, and pieces of it could be scrapped, and pieces of it could be replaced and improved, and should be. It needs a lot of improvement. But to say that we're going to repeal a 2,500-page piece of legislation that's been in place for 5 years, there's no chance of that, especially with a president who considers it really important.
Right.
He would veto it.
He's not going to be there too much longer. One last thing. Are you so when you hear people saying that this is going to potentially bankrupt our country, do you think that is a potential the way the Affordable Care Act is structured right now, that we could get into some serious trouble?
We definitely can, but it's not because of the Affordable Care Act. It's because every single day, 10,000 people turn 65 and join Medicare. We're living longer, and we're taking advantage of the healthcare system to help us live even longer. And so if we continue at the roughly $10,000 per year per person cost of healthcare, yeah, we have an enormous problem. So the cost problem has to be addressed. Part of it is a congressional problem, having to do with the pharmaceutical industry. Part of it is the change in the incentive system, which, by the way, is now in place. And as I mentioned, it's beginning to work. It's going to take a few more years to have a big impact, but I believe it will. I'm actually optimistic about this.
The accountable care organizations you were referencing earlier. Hey, that's right. It's good to be, let's be positive here. Dr. John Patrick, the book, check it out, Health Attitude. Health Attitude, change your attitude. We need to change our attitude as a whole. Health Attitude, Unraveling and Solving the Complexities of Healthcare. Dr. Patrick has studied this very deeply and understands it in a way that you'll be glad to have read the book. Dr. Patrick, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure, Michael. Yep. Thank you.